Well, good morning and welcome to the PGG Rights and Results Briefing for the 12 months to June 30, 2018. So I'm Ian Glasson, Chief Executive, and it's my pleasure to provide an overview of our results for the year. And with me on the call are Peter Scott, our CFO, and Julian Daly, our Company Secretary. Before I begin, I just want to take a moment to thank the 2,000 outstanding individuals who make up the PGG Wrightson team for their continued work and hard dedication. So on behalf of the board and the executive team, thank you to all our staff and employees. I plan to talk for about 15 to 20 minutes, and then there will be time for questions at the end. So I'll cover off this year's financial results, the key themes that we see in our markets and across our customers that have led to these results. Also, the conditional agreement for the sale of seed and grain business to the global seeds business DLF. And finally, our thoughts on the year ahead. Before I start recapping the key points from our announcement earlier today, please note a bit of a disclaimer that I'll talk about both GAAP and non-GAAP performance measures. We use operating EBITDA as a key measure of performance, and I encourage you to refer to our full accounts for the details of how this relates to GAAP measures. So coming to the key financial highlights. So those for the year ended June 2018 were, firstly, operating EBITDA was $70.2 million. This result, which exceeded the top end of our guidance range, virtually equals 2016's record and is 9% up on last year's result. So I'm very pleased by this trading result, and I'll come back to that in more detail in a moment. Net profit after tax was $18.9 million, which was down on last year due to a number of one-off items, and earnings per share were 2.5 cents. We've declared a fully imputed dividend of 1.25 cents per share, which we paid on the 3rd of October 2018, and this will bring the total fully imputed dividends paid for the year to 3 cents per share. This is an excellent trading result for PGW, a result which we as a company are very proud of. Almost all of our New Zealand businesses were up on last year, with most achieving double-digit earnings growth. In general, the New Zealand agricultural sector was very strong over the course of our 2018 financial year. In addition, our trading result reflects our broad-based exposure to New Zealand agriculture and our staff's passion and commitment to the sector. We differentiate ourselves in the market through our technical expertise. Strategically, we're focused on employing the best people in the field and supporting them with innovative and powerful tools. This allows them to add value to our clients' operations. Throughout 2017-18, we've continued to invest in our people and our systems so we can maintain the momentum we've built over recent years with our suppliers and our clients and continue to grow operating earnings for our shareholders. Looking back on 2018, conditions were positive for most of our New Zealand clients. The Ministry for Primary Industries estimates that dairy export revenues increased 14% in 2018, meat and wool sector export revenues increased 12%, and horticulture export revenues increased 6%. These overall figures, though, belie the challenge that many of our clients faced. Wet conditions delayed spring in most parts of the country. This was rapidly followed by hot, dry conditions in December 2017 and January 2018, with New Zealand having its hottest summer on record. The dry conditions were felt across New Zealand, but most notably in Taranaki, Manawatu, West Coast, Central Otago and Southland. Drought conditions broke in February, assisted by a pair of subtropical cyclones. The hot summer, though, was largely positive for kiwi fruit and apples, though vegetable and arable production were adversely affected. Wet paddocks delayed the sowing of spring-planted crops, and the hot summer lowered crop yields in Canterbury and market garden production in the North Island. Dairy production volume for the 2017-18 season is estimated to have fallen by 1% on volume from the previous year. During the dry conditions of December and January, the fall in production was expected to be higher, but the mild autumn helped dairy production recover towards the end of the season. In contrast, red meat production was largely unaffected. A key event which impacted the rural community of New Zealand in 2018 was the introduction of Mycoplasma bovis, also known as M. bovis. It is a bacterium associated with a plethora of diseases in cattle, both dairy and beef, that reduce production. So while commonplace in herds throughout the world, New Zealand has been free of this costly disease. In July 2017, the Ministry of Primary Industries confirmed M. bovis was in New Zealand, and in May 2018, the government agreed a phased eradication program with the sector. We have mobilised an M. bovis response team within PGW. It's working through our various touch points with New Zealand farmers to enhance our processes so we can play a part in combating this disease. Against this backdrop, now let's turn the focus to the performance of our three operating groups, and first we'll look at the agency group. The agency group comprises our livestock, wool, real estate and insurance businesses, and overall had an excellent year. Agency's operating EBITDA increased $2.1 million, or 12% over 2018, to $20.1 million. Revenues were 2% up on last year. The livestock business, which is the largest unit within agency, matched last year's record operating EBITDA as higher sheep prices offset both lower dairy tallies and reduced live export activity. Our Go range of livestock grazing products continues to be really well received in the marketplace. While this is a profitable product range for us, it is capital intensive. Had we been able to allocate more capital to it, I've no doubt we would have grown it even more strongly. At the National Field Days in June this year, we previewed what's cleverly named as BIDR, that's B-I-D-R, our exciting new online trading platform for livestock that we expect to launch by early next year. So far, the effects of M. bovis on livestock trading volumes has been minimal, but we are keeping a watching brief on developments to assess any long-term implications for us. Our wool business bounced back strongly from the disappointing year last year. Crossbred wool prices have been depressed for the better part of 2 years. But with prices having now stabilised, albeit at lower levels, the stockpile of 2017 has started to clear and volumes have returned to normal. Our real estate business was one of few New Zealand businesses that were down on last year. The first 6 months were challenging for the team with weather, along with a number of factors including tighter bank lending conditions affecting buyer confidence. We saw a strong improvement with incredible effort from our PGW real estate team in the second 6 months as the rural sector regained momentum. Our lifestyle, residential and rural categories maintained their market share positions throughout the year, with some regions showing signs of improvement. Our Aon referral insurance business performed well and broadly in line with the corresponding period last year. Overall, another excellent year for agency, contributing an extra $2.1 million of operating EBITDA. So turning to the retail and water group, it had another spectacular year. Operating EBITDA increased $5.5 million to $23.8 million, a 30% increase. Retail performed extremely well and contributed to half of the improvement, with activity high across the key dairy, meat and wool and horticulture sectors, and revenues were 9% up. The rural supplies categories of bulk stock food, calf milk replacer, ag chem, seed and fertiliser all grew strongly. As we head into the 2019 financial year, we have a current backdrop of commodity prices, which are resulting in generally good economic producer returns. There are good conditions that farmers are continuing. These are good indications that the farmers are continuing maintenance programs, along with increased demand for calf milk replacer and fencing requirements. We also expect to see ongoing capital developments in horticulture. For fruit-fed supplies, the combination of a strong horticulture sector and leading market position continues to grow the bottom line. Agritrade, our distribution business, continued to grow by both expanding its range of products and increasing sales of those products. The business has over the last few years been investing in both people and digital infrastructure. Retail's point of difference in the marketplace is our technical offering and the service we provide to our tech team, our infield team and key accounts team. During 2018, we started a rollout of our new retail management systems. Our new point of sale system will allow us to better understand our customers and their needs. This technology will provide a basis for greatly improved e-commerce offering for our customers. And this, together with the continued development of our on-farm decision management tools, will provide the platform for other digital developments within retail. This is all aimed at enhancing our customer experience and engagement and reinforcing our leading market position. The water business continues to be challenged by the lack of on-farm irrigation development. This has been driven by delays in approved schemes as well as uncertainty around planned schemes. The new government's policy approach is impacting farmer sentiment and expenditure in this area. Despite these challenges, it is very pleasing to see our water improving its operating EBITDA, and this accounts for the half are up 5.5. The water business accounts for half of the 5.5 million improvement in the overall retail and water result. So turning now to the Seed and Grain Group. Seed and Grain's operating EBITDA reduced by 1.4 million or 4% to 35.6 million. Revenues, though, were 4% higher than last year. Our New Zealand business was a standout performer for Seed and Grain over 2018. We saw strong sales volumes across the board in all product categories except fodder beet. Autumn 2018 saw a favourable sowing window and a significant catch-up of the two previous seasons. We do note the inadvertent substitution of HT Swedes. We've been working very closely with our customers to minimise this impact and will continue to provide support until this matter is resolved. Seed and Grain have launched several exciting new products recently, one of which was Rapno Brassica. This product offers some unique attributes in water use efficiency and grazing flexibility. The first fully commercial year for Rapno was 2018, and demand was strong and it very quickly sold out. In September 2018, we launched our environmentally functional program. This program includes plantain cultivars which are marketed under the brand Ecotane. These specific cultivars of plantain have been shown to significantly reduce the amount of nitrate leached through the soil. Ecotane environmental plantains have been commercially available since early 2018 and their release has been met with strong demand to date. In contrast to generally positive market conditions in New Zealand, conditions were extremely challenging in both South America and Australia. Dry conditions in New South Wales and Queensland reduced sales to within these states significantly. Victoria, South Australia, Tasmania and South of Western Australia did benefit from an autumn break to the drought and managed to achieve average sales. Turf and revegetation sales continued to grow in Australia. A big proportion of the Argentinian pampas, most of Uruguay and the southern states of Brazil suffered one of the worst droughts in many years. Given that these areas were still suffering the effects of the 2016 floods, our South American business did well to achieve what they did in the face of adversity. With the increase in New Zealand operating EBITDA largely offsetting the weakness in Australia and South America, overall the Seed and Grain business fell just short of last year's result. Of course, last week we announced that we've entered into a conditional agreement with DLF Seeds to divest the Seed and Grain business, so I'll return to Seed and Grain in a moment. But first, let me summarise the results at the overall PGW group level. In terms of operating EBITDA, it's extremely pleasing to be able to report a significant increase in PGW's trading results. And operating EBITDA increased 5.7 million or 9% to virtually equal 2016's record result. This shows the improved trading performance from the tough conditions we faced in 2017 year. In terms of net profit after tax, as we've consistently advised throughout the year, this increase in trading performance did not result in an increase in net profit after tax. NPAT in 2018 was 27.4 million lower than 2017 for a number of reasons. First, 2017's NPAT benefited from 8.8 million of non-taxable gains on sale of property. With our property divestment program all but complete, 2018's gains on sale of property were 7.1 million lower. Second, a 5.9 million expense net of tax has been recognised as remediation costs of historical liabilities under the Holidays Act 2003. Third, the recent fall of the New Zealand dollar generates an unrealised loss on our foreign exchange hedges. PGW is a net exporter, and as the New Zealand dollar falls, the value of the hedges goes negative. We choose not to hedge account, so this appears as a loss in finance costs. However, this is not a true loss in an economic sense, as a loss will be offset by a corresponding gain on the receipt of the foreign currency once the export sale completes. Fourth, given the extremely challenging market conditions in Uruguay, we've reduced the carrying value of our investment in our retailing joint venture, AgroCentro. And finally, costs relating from the strategic review contribute to the unusually low NPAT result. Turning to cash flow, net cash flow from operating activities reduced 14.7 million to 5.8 million. Mostly due to increased investment in working capital. And that was up from 19.5 million the previous year to 27.9 million in 2018. 7 million of this increase was in Go livestock receivables, reflecting the strength and growth of these products, with the remaining growth in working capital concentrated in the seed and grain business. After spending a net 20.9 million on capital expenditure and investments, and paying 29.3 million in dividends, net interest-bearing debt increased 40.8 million to 169.1 million. In terms of the dividend, in declaring today's dividend of 1.25 cents per share, the board balanced the one-off nature of the items affecting NPAT and the strong underlying trading performance against the reinvestment opportunities available to the business. The board felt it prudent to reduce the final dividend this year. So that concludes my overview of the 2018 results. But before I open the line for questions, I'd like to spend a few minutes summarising the conditional agreement we've entered into to sell the seed and grain business to DLF. Last week we announced that we had received a very attractive offer from DLF Seeds to acquire our seed and grain business, and with unanimous support of the board, entered into a conditional agreement with DLF Seeds. Should the required regulatory and shareholder approvals be obtained, DLF Seeds would pay approximately $421 million for the seed and grain business and assume net debts of approximately $18 million. Based on the financials at 30th of June 2018, i.e. the date of the financial accounts released this morning, it would give PGW a net cash balance of approximately $270 million. Excluding the seed and grain segment, PGW is a rural services business, and that encompasses retail and water and agency, would then have approximately $800 million of revenue and a $35 million level of operating EBITDA. The board remains focused on completing this transaction. The significant cash receipts from the sale give the board a range of options going forward, including a potentially non-taxable distribution of available subscribed capital to shareholders of up to $292 million, which is subject to obtaining a favourable binding ruling from Inland Revenue. We've engaged Court Amenta to prepare an independent appraisal report to assess the merits of this transaction for PGW shareholders. We'll provide more details in the days ahead, such as dates for dispatch materials. We are working towards a target date for the shareholders meeting in October. Until the conditions of the agreement are satisfied, it's very much business as usual for PGW. We'll continue to run the seed and grain business on behalf of Dealer Seeds, as we always have. We're working hard to ensure minimal disruption for our customers and our staff. Should the transaction complete, the seed and grain business will continue to operate under their existing brands, including PGG Wrightson Seeds, and PGW and DLF Seeds will work closely under the common branding as market leaders in our respective rural services and seed and grain offerings. PGW will continue to provide shared services to the seed and grain business for a transition period of 12 to 18 months. I want to take a couple of minutes to talk about intellectual property. There have been some misleading information in the market about potential loss of IP from the sale of business to DLF Seeds. It is important that I correct this. The intellectual property in Seeds is significantly invested in New Zealand in three joint ventures with the Crown. They include Grasslands Innovations, Endophyte Innovations, and Forage Innovations. A great example of how the IP will remain in New Zealand is as follows. If you take one of our products, which is known as Raphno, which was released into the market in 2018, it's a brassica developed in New Zealand, now sold in Australia, and has sales which attract royalties which return to New Zealand to PGW Seeds and to our joint venture Forage Innovations, including the New Zealand Crown. After DLF Seeds ownership, more of this highly valued New Zealand intellectual property will be available to the Northern Hemisphere and therefore increase the net benefit to New Zealand. So moving on now to the outlook. Finally, what do we think 2019 will bring? Well, market conditions in New Zealand currently remain strong. There are some signs of weakness in beef and milk commodity pricing, but this weakness is from a high base. Lamb prices are strong, as are most prices for horticultural products. Imbovis remains a source of uncertainty in New Zealand, as does the impact of 2018's tough climatic conditions for the Seeds Group in Australia and extremely tough conditions in South America, all of which are potential headwinds. Overall, though, we're reasonably positive about next year's outlook. We also believe that current business net profit after tax will normalise. However, should the DLF Seeds transaction complete, then PGW will recognise a gain on sale of over $120 million. As is our custom, it's our intention to provide more information on our progress, including an earnings forecast at the time of the annual shareholder meeting scheduled for October. So this concludes our presentation, and very shortly I'll hand the line back to the operator so they can introduce your questions. Before I do that, I'd like to sincerely once again thank all our staff and our customers for their continuing support. It has been a marvellous operating result, and it's been my absolute privilege to talk to you all about that today. So thanks very much, and operator, over to you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Your first question is from Jay Huber. Please ask.
Sorry, I didn't catch that name, operator. Could you just repeat the name again?
Good morning, guys. It's Guy Hooper here.
Oh, hi, Guy.
From Forsyth Bar. Hey, look, just I suppose a two-part question from me. So you got record results from your New Zealand rural service business. Could you just provide a little bit more colour into to what sort of the drivers of that growth were? How much of that was organic growth versus just a sort of strong agri backdrop, and how sustainable these levels of operating EBITDA are? And then I suppose secondly, so where do you see the organic growth opportunities, particularly in the remaining businesses, so the rural services?
Okay, well, let me try and break down sort of the aspects to the rural service and agency growth. I think organic growth, if you like, is coming from the initiatives on our GO products and livestock particularly, which is a unique offering, and we are capturing increased market share, albeit there is a sort of a strong underlying market, particularly given the high land prices, but we're seeing substantial market share increase through GO products. We've also got a number of other new initiatives, and I'll deal with your question, probably answering both at the same time. We see the online trading platform as a potentially new market initiative, and particularly if concerns continue to grow around mycoplasma, which may put some pressure on mixed or sale yard type activities. Wool is a recovery from what has been really a poor period in 2017 and 2016, and we're seeing a more sustainable outcome, I think, with sensible prices, and albeit they're still off a fairly low base for crossbred, although merino wool is looking better. Real estate, so a tough year, but the real estate market is normalising again, and I think we're seeing also efforts to increase our market share. We've beefed up a number of our employees in different segments of the market where our market share may have been low, so we're really getting some strong organic growth in areas where previously we had not had a good presence. I think in the retail business there's a whole lot of areas. There is sort of a strong underlying growth in the horticulture sector, but we're also working very hard to ensure we have the best technical offering to customers, and I think that's where we differentiate ourselves from commodities. We're not out there selling on price, we're out there selling on a service offering and reliability and trust to customers, and that's really being reflected right across our retail segment. Obviously, it relies on a strong and profitable underlying farm economy, but we see those conditions remaining. So we can see some continued growth. We've increased our distribution business, agri-trade, and so we've got a strong and diversified offering now into horticulture, which continues to enjoy good conditions. So it's quite a broad-based and strong underlying organic growth, albeit there are some areas of segments of the market which are helping us along a bit as we go.
Great. Thanks, Ian.
Your next question is from Jack Crowley. Please ask.
Yeah, hi, and thanks for your time today. Just a couple of questions from me, if I may. Firstly, on the strategic growth initiatives that you guys could potentially deploy with more access to capital should this PGW seed sale occur. Just really wanting to get a handle on kind of where are the areas that you've been capital constrained, where you think you could downinvest going forward, and I guess kind of go products and technology seem like kind of a couple of the obvious ones there. And then kind of secondly, when we're thinking about increased investment, how should we kind of think about the mix of that from I guess an intangible investment versus a kind of a working capital investment versus more of just a traditional kind of fixed asset type investment kind of breakdown?
All right, well, let me try and cut that into various parts. I think obviously around the strategic review itself, clearly the board continues to look at the options, but it now has a very substantial amount of cash to look at options going forward. But clearly it's going to be some months, I think, before we are able to close the DLF transaction and for that to be realised. So in the interim, it's business as usual. And coming back to those growth options, we have obviously with some conditions, particularly the seeds, increased working capital substantially, and that's taken up quite a bit of capital. That should be freed up, and we'd look forward to going forward on those sort of organic initiatives. We think there is strong growth in Go products. It's currently obviously on balance sheet at the moment. There's a point where we may be able to move that off balance sheet, which would free up some capital. The other key areas of focus are really around, at the moment, some capital or technology initiatives, and there's a number of those. I've mentioned the bidder program, but also in retail particularly, we want to move from our current improved point-of-sale offering to an e-commerce type offering, which will diversify our opportunities there. Other than that, there will be the ongoing sort of operational capex as we modernise particular stores and invest in those. Anything else, of course, is more of a major capital acquisition type transaction, and there'd be anything outside normal business, but obviously too early to comment on any of those.
Okay, got it. That's very helpful. So it kind of sounds like, I guess, across the board, both from an intangible, a kind of a working capital, but also a kind of fixed asset perspective, there's potential to invest kind of should that transaction settle. Just the next one and kind of final one from me, if I may.
Sorry, just to correct that, it's not so much fixed assets because we're obviously lease premises. It's more into predominantly around capital technology, yeah. So grandma, we tend to run in our rural services business pretty much a lease type model for areas, so we don't have it's not as big capital base of property investments. Indeed, we've been really freeing up any of the underutilized assets there and turning that back into cash. Sorry, I'll take your second question, I guess, if you're allowed to have two in a run.
Yeah, well, fantastic and helpful clarification. Thanks. Second one is, I guess, thinking of the $35 million of EBITDA from the kind of residual business after PGW Seeds comes out. That obviously assumes that corporate overheads remain within the existing business. And I was just kind of wanting to get a handle on both from a size perspective, but also, I guess, from a transition between a multinational and a more domestically focused business. It seems like maybe there might be potential opportunities for cost out across some of those kind of $10 million of out of corporate overheads. Could you give us a kind of a rough steer about kind of those corporate overheads and the mix of that's kind of ongoing costs associated with kind of being a listed company and corporate governance and the rest of it versus, I guess, what you potentially think might be able to be scaled back as the business kind of contraction size and maybe simplifies to just two operating segments versus three?
Well, it's a long question with probably a shorter answer. I think your $35 million is exactly that. All we've done is saying we've got an operating EBITDA at the moment of just over 70, and around 35 of that came from Seeds. So by definition, there's around 35 remaining. But you're absolutely right. That assumes all the corporate costs and overheads in the current structure exactly as is. And again, it's too early yet to sort of predict what shape that might be. What you would have to assume that if the business does shrink back down, and remember it's still an $800 million turnover business in rural services and still substantially profitable, there's obviously things you can do more efficiently. As you mentioned, you haven't got that multinational focus. We don't have the operations in South America or Australia. It's purely a New Zealand-focused business. So I'm sure there are some efficiencies and cost savings. I haven't got estimates for you, and I can't really go into detail on that, but yeah, clearly there'd be an opportunity to probably finesse that overhead structure and improve EBITDA accordingly.
Got it. That's all from me. Really appreciate the time.
Thank you. So any further questions, moderator?
Again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 and wait for your name to be announced. Again, it's star 1 if you have any questions.
Sounds like we may have exhausted the questions, which is very good.
Yes, we don't have any additional questions as of the moment. Please continue.
Excellent. Well, look, thank you very much, everyone, for your attention today. I'd just like to sum up and say I think it was a great operating result for the business, and it really does reflect enormous hard work by our people. Our people are passionate about the business, and importantly, really engage strongly with our customers. And it's that customer engagement and trust which is fundamental to PGW, and that's what we'll continue to work on building. So thanks for your time today, and we'll look forward to catching up in the future.